Good morning, everyone. Today's Daf and Beis is Daf Chav Tes. We are in Chav Ches Amud Aleph. We're at the Mishnah. We'll start right in the middle of the Amud on Chav Ches Amud Aleph, and hopefully today we'll be able to make up some lost ground that we've really need to take care of. We thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the Daf. Daf will be learning Zecher Nishmas Los Lubin Zaltzman. Okay, yesterday, even before the Mishnah, I just quickly ran through the Gemara. I didn't do a good job explaining it, so let's just go quickly over those last lines of the Gemara. The Gemara had a discussion about using a scale. Using a scale on Yontif, acceptable or unacceptable. Scale is, again, it goes back to the basic issue that we've been discussing now for the past couple of days, and that is that you could do transactions on Yontif, but it can't become commercial. Once your transactions become commercial, that's what's called uvda dechol. It becomes too weak to inactivity. So you can buy meat and you can go to the butcher, but still though, to make it into a regular daily transaction, that you're not allowed to do. So with reservation, with hesitation, the chachamim allowed it, and with restrictions. So one of the big discussions that we had yesterday, which we're going to continuously have today, meaning it's really going to cover us for the rest of today's daf, is what kind of regulations are there to do any type of transaction of food on Yontif? So there was a discussion that we had yesterday in the Mishnah, which is the use of scales. Am I allowed to use a scale on Yontif? So that was a machlok between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. Rav Yehuda says, yes, you can use a scale, but your counterbalance can't be weights. Meaning, right back in the good old days, the scale was very simple. It was a level placed on the fulcrum. You put a piece of meat on one side, you put a weight on the other side, and shine. And that was your scale back then. So and as long as the weights were fair, so then you had a functioning scale. So Rav Yehuda allowed you to use a scale on Yontif, but the only thing is your counterbalance had to be something that was not a weight, but whatever, a kli, a utensil. You knew how much it weighed, but in other words, just do it in an unusual fashion. And the Chachamim, remember, yesterday took the position, which is you cannot use a scale at all, bichlal. No use of a scale is allowed on Yontif. The Gemara said, what's the halacha? So the Gemara, interestingly enough, Gemara took a middle position, which is the position of Yeshua, which is that you could measure one piece of meat against another piece of meat. Meaning you can use a scale, but not with the same allowance that the Rav Yehuda would allow in our Mishnah, but rather you could use a scale measuring one piece of meat against another, even though it's a brisa, but nevertheless the Gemara says that's a halacha. The Gemara says, Rav Yosef says that's a halacha. How did he know that? So he knew it based on the Mishnah in Bechoros. So the Mishnah in Bechoros talks about the sale of a carbon that was blemished, where the proceeds are going to the owner, not to the Beis HaMikdash. So there, you could use a scale, but in this non-commercialized fashion, where you're measuring one piece of meat against another piece of meat, but you're not putting on the other side of the scale neither a weight nor a kli. And then the Gemara said, I don't know. The Gemara says, that Mishnah Bechoros may not affect us whatsoever. The Mishnah Bechoros is dealing with kachim, dealing with carbon that became disqualified. Our Mishnah is dealing with commerce on Yontif. They may be very two separate issues. And so the Gemara basically said, I'm not sure if that's the best proof that the halacha should in fact go like Rabbi Yoshua. The Gemara says, and then the Gemara says, Hahanushev benisa dasla be Rabbi. So the Gemara introduced us to Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Chia, and Rabbi Shimon Brebi. And it sounded like from the context of the story that they measured meats because they wanted to make sure that each one of them got a fair amount. To that, the Gemara says, it sounds like they were makbid on one another. Meaning, look, let's split some of the food. I'll get exactly the same amount you will, and we'll use a balance in order to make sure that we get the exact amount. The Gemara says, but we know that they don't really, they're not particular with one another. Specifically, Rabbi Chia and the son of Rabbi. The Gemara tells a story where there were seven fish that arrived to the house of Rabbi. Rabbi Chia got five of the seven, and v'lo kapid. And, okay, in other words, fine. I'm sorry, v'lo kapid Rabbi Shimon Rabbi. And Rabbi Shimon, the son of Rabbi, was like, okay, fine. He got five, I got two. I'm Rebbe's kid. It's fine. So I'm Rav Papa Shadi Gavra Benayu. So Rav Papa says, okay, we're going to have to go back to the original point, not this point, but the original point. And so we're going to just simply take out one of the Amoraim and replace them. So, Rabbi Chiv, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Ubar Kapara. In other words, you're right. When it comes to the relationship of Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi, and Rabbi Chia, they had such an outstanding relationship, they just literally didn't care. You'll get five, I get two, whatever. So it must be some other Amoraim who did not have as good a relationship were there when they wanted to divide meat. They took out the scale, they measured. Okay. Next. All right, we're on the Mishnah on Chaf Ches Amud Aleph, right in the middle of the Amud, and sharpening of a knife. Okay, the knife becomes dull and you want to sharpen it. On Yontif you're cutting, so can you sharpen the knife on Yontif? Okay, so this is a step away from Ochal Nefesh, meaning here it is. It took a while to get to this point in the Masechta, but then now I think this is the first time that we've discussed it straightforward. We've talked about it in the past. We gave examples of this in the past, but this is the first time I think that the Mishnah is talking about straightforward, and that's the topic of Machshirei Ochal Nefesh. Machshirei Ochal Nefesh is the idea that it's an act to get me to eat food, but it's not the principal act with the food, it's a preparatory act. Am I allowed to do preparatory acts on Yontif? As we'll see, it's debatable. It's Machlokas Tanayim. But first things first, let's learn a Mishnah. You can't sharpen your knife on Yontif, but what you could do is basically rub one knife against another knife, but that's all you could do. But you can't actually sharpen the knife on Yontif. So the Gemara now is going to try to qualify this statement of the Mishnah that you're not allowed to sharpen a knife. So Rav Huna starts off with his first qualification. Yeah, you can sharpen a knife, but that's against the stone. But if you have a wooden block and you're sharpening the knife against a wooden block, that's okay. So when we're disqualifying a stone, but that means we're only disqualifying it to sharpen the knife. But if my chief intent is to clean the knife, and I just want a hard substance to scrape the knife against in order to clean it, so I could use a stone. But if my chief purpose is to sharpen the knife, then I can't use a stone. So, and that would imply, of course, that if I'm using a wooden block to sharpen the knife, I can even go in with the intent of sharpening the knife against a wooden block. Fine. That is Rav Huna's qualification. Now, some people understand that Rav Huna was not going on the first, but rather on the second part. Bishel eitz mutter. On the wood, it would be permissible. No, when we say that the wooden block is going to be mutter, that means only to remove the fat off the knife. But to sharpen it would be prohibited. Which means if the qualification of Rav Huna is going on the seifa, so that means that if I'm using a stone, I can't use it at all. Neither to sharpen the knife, not even to remove the fat off the knife. Now, some say that the qualification wasn't going on the Braisa, but rather was going on our very own Mishnah. Ein mashchis in a sasakim yantiv. Our Mishnah says you can't sharpen a knife on yantiv. Our Rav Yudah Mishmah lo shanu lechadada. Yeah, that's only if you're going to sharpen the knife. But if my intent is only to remove the fat off the knife, so then I could rub it against something very hard. But that would imply that if I'm rubbing one knife against another knife, even if my chief intent is to sharpen the knife, that would be a fine. And some say that the statement of Rav Yehuda Mishmuel is going on the second part of our Mishnah, which is, I can rub one knife against another knife. That's only to wipe the fat off the knife. But to sharpen it would be prohibited. That means if I'm using a traditional knife sharpener, I can't use it on Yontif at all. Neither to sharpen the knife or not even to remove the fat off the knife. Yeah. Okay. So in other words, the Gemara has now given to us basically four different ways to understand the qualification of Rav Yehuda Mishmuel. Meaning there is some distinction between rubbing the knife to sharpen it versus rubbing the knife to get the fat off. Is it going on a stone? Is it going on the wooden block? Is it going on a traditional sharpener? Is that qualification going only when you're rubbing one knife against another? So the Gemara gave four different versions of that qualification. Man tana de mashchezes aser. Now, what's wrong? In other words, good. That's Rav Yehuda Mishmuel's qualification. But now the Gemara comes around and discusses the question from a fundamental level. What is, not what is wrong, let me present the Gemara accurately. Man tana demashkes es aser. Who says that sharpening is aser? Meaning, well, now I'll say it. What's wrong with sharpening the knife on Yantiv? You're sharpening the knife on Yantiv so that you'll be able to cut meat better. Cutting meat better, shechting an animal, these are things which are allowed on Yantiv. So what's wrong with sharpening the knife? So I'm Rav Chista, the local Rav Yehuda. So this is, in other words, Rav Yehuda wouldn't agree. Rav Yehuda would allow the sharpening of a knife on Yantiv, even though it is one step removed from Ochel Nefesh, even though it's Machshirei Ochel Nefesh, nevertheless, it would be permitted. So the Tanya will look at a Brayta saying, Ben Yantiv Shabbos Al Ochel Nefesh Bavan. The Gemara here quotes the Mishnah. The Mishnah is in the first parak of Megillah. It comes up a number of other times. But the Mishnah says, what's the difference between Shabbos and Yantiv? Ochel Nefesh Bavan. The only difference between them is Ochel Nefesh. So meaning that the Tanakam of that Mishnah is of the opinion that the only thing I can do on Yantiv is just food preparation. But any preparatory act would be prohibited. And Rav Yehuda matar af machshirei ochel nefesh. And Rav Yehuda allows even machshirei ochel nefesh, even the preparatory act. So you see now that if you asked Rav Yehuda, you'll have to sharpen the knife, he would say sure. Meaning the sharpening of the knife, even though that may result in a malacha, let's even say it is a malacha. Nevertheless, it would be permissible. Because the machshir is permissible. So Rav says to Rav Chista, I heard in your name, let's see if people are right, that you say the halacha is Rav Yehuda. Okay? Is that accurate? Amar le yeh Rav dechol kihani mili malyasa tijrushun mishmai. So his response is, yeah. Now, in other words, and anytime you hear something nice, I wish it was said in my name. Meaning, yeah, correct. That is absolutely accurate. Amar Nechemiah Ber Rav Yosef Havakem Nechemiah de Rava. So I was in front of Rav Yosef. Sorry. Rav Nechemiah was in front of Rava. And Vahavakam Ma'avir Lesakina Apuma Didikula. And what he was doing is he was taking his knife on Yantiv and he was rubbing it against some wicker. Okay, some wood, basically. Rashi, Meshafshi, Sakin, Al Piasal. Okay, basket made out of wicker, and he rubbed his knife against it. Why was he doing that? So I asked him, the Amri le lechadada ka'avin mar? Oh, la'avir shamnu seha. What's your chief purpose right now? Are you sharpening the knife? Or you just simply, the wicker is good, it's abrasive, it's going to get all the fat off the knife. It'll clean your knife. What's the chief purpose? So he gave me an answer and he said, well, I'm just rubbing off the fat. However, now I'm looking carefully and I'm seeing the way he's rubbing the knife against the wicker basket, and I see that really he's trying to sharpen the knife. So in other words, on Yantiv, I know I asked him point blank, and I know the answer that he gave me was, I'm just rubbing the fat off the knife. But nevertheless, I'm looking carefully. I see that his real intent is to sharpen the knife. The kasavar, so now the Gemara explains. It's a little bit strange. If the halacha is you're allowed to sharpen the knife, if the halacha does in fact go like Rabbi Yehuda, and we just saw Rabbi Chista announce that the halacha falls like Rabbi Yehuda, so then why won't he just simply admit that he's trying to sharpen his knife on Yantiv? The kasavar halacha ve'en marin ken. So the Gemara says he's of the following position. The halacha is like Rav Yehuda. You don't publicly broadcast it. Interesting. We see this every now and then, where the Gemara acknowledges that yes, that a given halacha follows a certain way, but we don't make this publicly known. And I would imagine that over here the concern would be that if you start broadcasting that you're not allowed to do Och Nefesh on Yantiv, but you're allowed to do Machshirei, so that would allow people to do more heterim on Yantiv, and there's a concern that there would be a further degradation of Yantiv. So even though, yes, you're allowed to sharpen a knife on Yantiv, but let's not broadcast that information. That is what Rava is of the opinion. So Abai says, I was in front of the master. Right, the reference to Rava. and he was rubbing his knife against the millstone. And again, the exchange over here, nearly identical. Why are you rubbing your knife against the millstone? Are you trying to just remove the fat off the knife, or are you sharpening the knife? And he responded to me, I'm just getting the fat off the knife. And then, so then I'm looking carefully at what he's doing, observing. I realize, nope, he's actually sharpening his knife. And so therefore, again, same exact conclusion. Halacha, that we hold like Rav Yehuda, Machshirim would be okay, but ain't more in came, but we just simply don't broadcast this to the public at large.
There's another aspect of this argument, and that is, if is something you could have done Erev Yom Tov.
We'll get to that. That distinction is coming up in just a moment. So the Gemara says, Ibai Lumal Laharasakan Lachacham Yom Tov. Can I show my knife to a chacham on yantif? Let me just give a little bit of background over here to understand what exactly the question is. We learned together back in Chulin, the beginning of Chulin, that prior to Shechita, obviously the most important aspect of Shechita is the knife. The knife has to be clean, it has to be smooth. There can be no nicks in the knife if there's a nick in the knife. So it could very well be that instead of cutting the trachea and the esophagus, it'll tear at the trachea and trachea and esophagus. And so a knife needs an examination and needs a bedika prior to Shechita. Okay? Now, back in the beginning of Chulin, so the Gemara noted that you have a Chacham living in your community, so you should show respect to the Chacham living in your community, and the Shochet, before Shechs, should bring the knife over to the Chacham and allow the Chacham to check the knife. Okay? Not because the Shochet's incapable, Shochet's totally capable of doing it. It's just simply a way of showing deference to the Chacham of your community. That is the Gemara in the beginning of Chulin. The Gemara wants to know over here, can I do this on Yontif? Why not? Meaning, you're allowed to shecht on Yontif. So if you're allowed to shecht on Yontif, so if part of the process, procedure of shechting, if the etiquette demands that you show it to your Chacham, so why would it be different on Yontif? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi over here is bothered by this issue, and Rashi over here offers a suggestion. So Rashi divra maschal ma'u laharos. So Rashi writes, "Atabach sakin lechacham yamtov livdok sheitil chacham em al tabachim laharos sakin lechacham kodesh sheyishchot shum behema." So Rashi over here reminds us of the Gemara in Chulin. That was proper procedure. So malasos can be yamtov. Mi mechze keuvda dechol. So Rashi says, the problem with showing it to a Chacham on Yontif is that now it becomes more of a weekday activity. The Avsha Milsa, the Shedato Limkor Be'ilis Olam Echze. Because once you're showing the knife to the Chacham, that means that that the shop is open. Meaning it's a public display to the masses, right? The Chacham is usually in a public setting. Chacham, think of the Ravi community. Not much private time for the Rav of the community. So if you're showing the knife to the Chacham, so that means now that basically it's a way of advertising, hey, I'm about to shecht an animal. Anyone who would like to come over to my house and you know, take a piece, quote-unquote, buy a piece, go ahead and do so. So in other words, it basically becomes now more of a public demonstration than I'm shechting. And that's the Rashi uses the terminology of Avsha Milsa. Avsha Milsa, you're making a public display of it. And again, on Yontif, you could do malacha for Ochel Nefesh, but everything has to be done with discretion. And the Gemara's concern over here is that this will become a lack of discretion.
Why can't you say he's also rendering a halachic decision?
Yeah, so the halachic decision issue, yeah, I knew we were going to get confused by this. I'm confused by this. Right, the halachic decision that the Gemara talked about regarding the Bechor, so that really creates a change of status. Here in the knife, and really any halachic inquiry, you're not changing a status. You're just, in other words, it's a shiloh. In other words, you're asked a question, you're answering a question. But you're not changing any particular status. In the Bechor scenario, you're changing a status. That's why the conclusion of the Gemara was you can't paskin on a Bechor. So good. So this is the Gemara's question. Let's go now back to the Gemara. So Rav Mari buried Rav Business Share and Rabbanan Asrei. So good. Okay, so debate. Machlokus between the Amoraim. Rav Bizni allows it, the Chachamim prohibit it. Rav Yosef Amar Tamachachamro Latzmo, Umashila Lacherim. If you yourself happen to be Talmid Chacham, so you'll show the knife to yourself, and you can lend it to others. Let's say the knife stopped cutting. Amda, literally it stopped, right? The knife stopped working. So it dulled. So motel echad b'yamtav, you're allowed to sharpen it on yamtav. And the Gemara says, but that's only if it stopped working because of use. Meaning, it was sharp before yamtav, and then like all knives, they start dulling. So then and only then would I be allowed to sharpen it on yamtav. Right? And as Rashi points out, if it no longer is working at all, meaning it is totally, the knife is dead, so to say, it's totally dull, so then you're not allowed to sharpen it because, says Rashi, that now becomes tircha yisera, meaning to take a knife that is totally inoperable and to sharpen it, that would be just too much work. All these questions of a knife that got a nick in it, a spit that bent, an oven or a stove that needs more work. What exactly do we mean by more work? So you could take a look at Tosfos. I'm not going to go through it right now, but take a look at the first Tosfos on the Amud, where he discusses what exactly the work is necessary and necessarily needs to be done by an oven. But basically, fixing all your equipment, your knife, your spit, your oven, on yantiv, banal machlokes, reviewed of Rabbanan. So once again, this is all falls under the category of machshirei ochel nefesh, and this is a classic debate between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim, D'Tanya. Second time today. Ein ben yantiv shabbos el ochel nefesh bavad. Rav Yehuda matir af machshirei ochel nefesh. Okay, so the Gemara quotes the price again. The Chachamim say, only Ochel Nefesh. Rav Yehuda includes even Machshirei Ochel Nefesh. My time at the Tanakhama, the Gemara now goes over sources. Tanakhama says, I can only do Ochel Nefesh. Why? Pasuk and Pashas Bo. Amar Kahu Levado Yasalachem. Hu V'lo Machshirav. The word hu is always a limitation. You can only do it on Yantav. It meaning Ochel Nefesh, not preparatory acts. Rav Yehuda Amar Kra Lachem. Lachem l'chol tzarchechem. On the other hand, Rav Yehuda says the Torah says the word lachem. Lachem means you do what you need to do on yantiv, even if it means machshirin. So the Tanakhama aksiv lachem am lacha ulachem v'lo nachrim. So the Tanakhama, what do they do with the word lachem? Lachem is excluding goyim. You can't cook for goyim on yantiv. We talked about this earlier in the Masechta. V'idach nami haksiv hu. Now what is Rav Yehuda going to do with the word hu, which is a limitation? So Rav Yehuda says, I'm fine with the limitation, but look, you have to look at the pasuk in its totality. On one hand, we have a limitation of hu. On the other hand, we have an expansion of lachem. Lo kasha kam b'machshir shef shalasos amerav yontov kam b'machshir shef shalasos amerav yontov. So the distinction that we're going to make is whether or not machshirin could or could not have been done before yontov. If it could have been done before yontov, then you have no permission to do so on yontov. If it could not have been done before yontov, like the case of the knife, where I'm cutting with a knife and then there's a nick in the knife on yontov, so then I'm allowed to sharpen it on yontov. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Shpush, and Irtzaf Asa Lataknu B'yontov. If the spit gets bent, so you can't fix an yantiv. Pshita l'tzricha d'afagav demivsha b'yadein. So the Gemara says, well, what we mean to say is, even if I could just simply fix it with my hands, meaning it's not going to require an iron and a hammer. In other words, I could just simply bend it right back into place. Even still, you cannot do that on yantiv. The Amar of Yehuda Mishmol Shposh Etzela Babasar Salatalto b'yantiv. Once you finish with the spit on yantiv, that's it. You can't move it anymore. You can't. It becomes muktzan yantiv. Rav Adabav Amar Rav Malkiyo Shomto Umenicha Bekeren Zavis. So what you do is you put it in the corner of your house. I'm Rav Chia Barashi. I'm Rav Huna Vushi Yeshalav Kazayis Basar. So the only license you have to move it is only if there's still any meat left on the spit. Ravina Amar Afa Pishen Alav Basar Mutal Taltalo. So Ravina disagrees. No, we're talking about a spit. It's dangerous. It's lying around on the ground. If you have any danger lying around on the ground, you could pick it up and you can move it on Yontif. So Mida Dehave Kotz Birshos Rabim. It would be no different than a thorn in a public area. Rashi reminds us of Gemara, the third parak in Shabbos. Rashi writes, Mutal Alicha Pachos Midal Amasachim Asakan, let's see the Birshos Rabim, Kishitesh Lo Tazik. What you're allowed to do on Shabbos, you have a thorn in the middle, right, a nail in the middle of the road, a piece of glass in the middle of the road. We're talking about a Rishus Rabbim. So what can I do on Shabbos? I can pick it up and I can move it to the side. Now, keep in mind, you're not allowed to carry four amas on a Rishus Rabbim. So Rashi reminds us what you're going to do is you're going to pick it up, you're going to walk less than four amas, you'll stop. You'll walk less than four amas, you'll stop. You will not violate the Malacha da'araisa of Havara, of being Mavir da'amas Rishus Rabbim. And you're allowed to pick it up because you're allowed to save somebody from getting hurt. So the same thing with the spit in your house. You have a spit in your house, even if there is no piece of meat on it, you're allowed to pick up the spit and move it to a place where no one's going to get hurt. Okay, good. Amar Rav China Barei D'Ravika Shpod Shvachos Gumos Rav Malkio Bloris Efer Mikla Ugvina Rav Malkio. There are six halachas. The first one, the one I'm just going to go through is just the one that we're talking about right now in the context of our Gemara, and that is the spit, right? The Gemara just discussed the spit on Yontif, whether or not you're allowed to fix a spit on Yontif. So if the spit became totally inoperable, so that's machshir, and that would have been fine. If it just bent a little bit, you're not allowed to fix it on Yontif. And then the question was, what if it is... What if it's on the floor? Can I pick it up so that nobody hurts themselves? The Gemara said, yeah, but in other words, but the halacha as recorded to us in the Gemara was given by an Amora by the name of Rav Malkiyo. Rav Malkiyo was the one responsible giving us the halacha of Shpod together with the halacha of Shvachos and Gumos. And the other three halachas of Bloris, Efer, Mikla, and Gvina, that's Rav Malkiyo. Their names are so similar to one another, they're only separated by the Vav and the Aleph at the end of their name. So just, and the Gemara was super careful about giving correct credit to who said it. So, the three halachas of Shpot, Shvachos, Gumos is Rav Malkiyo, and the three, each one of them, I'm going to be honest with you, it's not just a question of translation, it's explaining each one of them. Okay, and each one of them is going to take us way off topic. Please forgive me. But we're just going to, And the other three halachos are Rav Malkiya. Rav Papa Amar, Rav Papa says, no. Masnisin u masnisa Rav Malkiya, shmaita to Rav Malkiya. I'm going to take those same six halachos, but we're going to scramble them in the following way. If they are a brisa, so then that's Rav Malkiya with an aleph. Mishnah brisa. If it's an amoraic statement, so then that's Rav Malkiya. And I'll just give you a mnemonic in terms of how to remember that. Simancha masnisen malkisa. And the way to remember that is a mnemonic is Mishnah is king. Right? Malkisa. Now malkisa is very similar to the word malkiya. So just a mnemonic to help us remember. And Mishnah is king, meaning what does that mean, Mishnah is king? Meaning that if I have a Mishnah or a Braisa, or I have a statement made by an Amora, obviously, I would go with a Mishnah and a Braisa well before I would go with an Amora. Okay, so in other words, just a mnemonic to help us remember it. Now, once we reshuffle the deck, so what does that mean? So, my binayu kabinayu shvachos. So the Gemara says, so what that means now is that in the first way that was presented, a shvachos was said over by Rav Malkiyo. We're going to have to change that, meaning based on the system that was given by Rav Papa. Rav Papa says that if it's a Mishnah and a Braisa, it's Rav Malkiyo. Shvachos, that's Rav Malkiya, because Shvachos is based on the Mishnah. Right? The remember this one? I know I said I'm not going to explain any of them. Okay. But this one, you remember? This one was a discussion in the Gemara Suvos. What happens if you are, if your wife is well off and she brings not only one but two but 10, even 100 maids into the marriage? Right, she has servants, and she brings them into the marriage. So the question is, how much? In other words, husband and wife have obligations to one another. So how much does that diminish from her obligations of work in the house to her husband? So that was the discussion back in Ksuvos. Okay, so that was the fine. Anyway, fine. Back to our Mishnah. Yeah.
How is it different between weekday and the night? They got to sharpen the knife.
The sharpening of the knife, it's interesting. The sharpening of the knife, the flow of the Gemara is a little bit off tilt. And not trying to be critical. But in other words, just to get a whole picture of what's going on. Meaning we have been discussing, and we will continue to discuss, the difference between weekday and non-weekday activity. The discussion of the sharpening of the knife is not a weekday versus non-weekday activity. That's a discussion of Machshir Ochel Nefesh. Meaning the Gemara started off by discussing weekday versus non-weekday, and then the Gemara kind of digressed to discuss Machshirin. Meaning the sharpening of the knife is really a Machshir discussion. It has nothing to do with weekday versus non-weekday. How come it made it in the middle of this discussion? That I'm not clear about. But it's not a weekday discussion. It's a Machshirin discussion. Okay, we're on the Mishnah on the very bottom of Chav Ches Amid Beis. Lo yomar adon l'tavach shakoli bediner basar aval shochin u'mechalik b'neihem. Don't say to the butcher, give me a diner. Diner's a coin. Don't give me a diner's worth of meat. Meaning again, there's going to be a transaction. You're going to be buying meat by the from the butcher. But again, the overarching theme has been and will continue to be discretion. You cannot make this look like such a commercial activity. Because again, mekoch u'memkar, business is prohibited on Shabbos and on Yantiv. Again, food you're allowed to, but with discretion. Part of the discretion is don't mention money. Don't mention money by name. So obviously you will owe him. Obviously you'll pay him after Yantiv, but just simply in the actual transaction itself, don't say the word dinar. Avashochin machalak b'neim, but rather you shech, then everyone divides, then okay. Hechi avid. So the Gemara has a very simple question, and that is, okay, but how do you make the transaction? Okay, so you're going to the butcher, and I'm not allowed to say, give me $10 worth of meat. Okay, I got it. So what do I say now? Now, this should sound very familiar, because yesterday we discussed how what you should do is you should talk in fractions. Give me a quarter of the animal. Give me a half of the animal. Right? That's what we said yesterday. But Rashi points out, that's great if you have a large family. And you're interested in getting on Yantav a half of an animal, or even a quarter of an animal. But let's say all you really want is just $10 worth of meat. That's all you want. So now, how do you do it if you can't actually mention the denomination by name? So that's the way Rashi understands the Gemara's question of Hechi Avid. So, Kiha de Besura. So the Gemara gives based on where you live. If you live in the town of Surah, it's great. We're going to get like a whole geography lesson. Well, not geography. I'm not going to tell you where it is. But basically, we're going to name all the principal communities of Bavel. If you live in Surah, Amre Tarta, Upaga Tarta. If you live in Narash, you say Amre Chaka, Upaga Chaka. If you live in Pumbadisa, Amre Uzia, Upaga Uzia. If you live in Narpakod, or if you live in the town of Masamechasia, so you're going to mention Amre Riva, Upaga Riva. Okay, notable absence, the town of Nahardah. Right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Fine. The town, I can tell you this, and this, I'm not trying to explain the Gemara, but it's true though. Meaning the yeshiva of Nahardah, after the death of Shmuel, the yeshiva folded. So, okay, whatever. It didn't, in other words, it was a huge Jewish community, and for whatever reason, it folded after the death of Shmuel. Shmuel was the first generation of Amora. Anyway, I just say that by way of incidents. I don't know if that's really the Shana the Gemara. But anyway, Rashi says, look at the top Rashi on the Samud, second line in Rashi, Kol tabachim hayu menachim be'emosem b'shaveh, kach v'kach nesachim min ha'behema, ולאוזן הנסחים קראו לו בסורה טרטה ובנר שחלקה ובפמבדיסה אוזיה ובנר פקוד ריבה. Butcher's cut, meaning that when the butcher would cut the meat, he would cut it into uniform pieces on Yantif. So you wouldn't actually name the coin by name, you wouldn't say the denomination, you would just simply say, and again, depending on which community you lived in, but you would say, give me that cut of meat, or give me that cut of meat, or give me that cut of meat. But in other words, there was basically a uniform cut in which the butcher cut the meat up into uniform pieces, and that was a way of doing a transaction on meat. if you didn't want a half or a quarter or a third of the entire animal. Okay, yeah, correct. Okay, Mishnah, we're on the Mishnah, and Chavtet Samad Alf, we're starting with the Mishnah. Omer Adam Chaver Malayli Klizah. Avalo B'midah. You know, we learned this in the very tail end of Masechta Shabbos. You're not allowed to measure on Shabbos. Okay, you're not allowed to make measurements on Shabbos. So that's great, okay, because on Shabbos, what am I measuring? Okay, good, I get it. You're not allowed to measure on Shabbos. But in Yontif, however, this is going to be a little bit tricky, because on Yontif, you're allowed to cook. And anyone who's involved in cooking, okay, I can't really make claim to that, but anyone who's involved in cooking, you know that measuring is an important part of cooking. You need to measure. Right, you're not gonna the recipe calls for a cup of sugar, so you're not gonna throw 2 cups of sugar in there. So in other words, right? So now you understand. Now we're entering into a tricky issue, meaning on one hand you're not allowed to measure on Shabbos and Yom Tov. On the other hand, if I'm allowed to cook, I need to measure. So what do I do? So the Mishnah over here addresses this issue. So the Mishnah says, "Omar Adam Chaver Malali Klizem." So I can go to my neighbor and I can say, "Hey, do me a favor, fill this up." But Avalo B'mida. But you can't say, give me, now in English, by the way, this is so confusing because I say a cup. A cup refers to the actual physical object, and it also happens to be a measurement as well. So it doesn't work in English. But give me a pint. Okay. In other words, I ask for a specific measurement. So Rav Yehuda Amrei Mayu Kli Shalmida Lo Yimalenu, and Rav Yehuda is Machmir. Rav Yehuda says any measuring utensil cannot be used on Yontif. We'll come back to Rav Yehuda in just a moment. And the Gemara tells the story of Abba Shaul, where he would fill up his cups on Erev Yontif, and he would give it to the purchasers. In other words, he sold oil and wine on Yontif and on Chol HaMoed. He would fill up the night prior. And Abba Shaul ben Bitnis would do this. And Anyantav Abba Shaul Omer Af B'Moed Ose Kain, and Abba Shaul would do so even during Chol HaMoed. Now the next three words of the Mishnah, debatable whether they belong there or not. Right, I'll read it. V'bnei Berurei Hamidos, because of the foam. I'll explain all this in just a moment. V'Chachamim Omerim Af B'Chol Ose Kain V'bnei Mitzu Hamidos, and the Chachamim say that you should do this during the week as well because of Mitzui Hamidos. Okay. A lot of things in the Mishnah I left unexplained. All of it, I'll come back and I'll explain momentarily. The first thing, however, we're going to deal with is the first point of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that, according to the Tanakhama, I can't say, give me a pint, give me a quart, give me a gallon. But in other words, I could just give them a cup and say, okay, fill it up. And Rav Yehuda says, if it's a measuring utensil, you cannot use it at all. My avalo b'mida. Now, the Tanakhama who qualifies? What exactly does he mean by this? That you can't, in other words, Rav Yehuda, I understand. Okay, in other words, he's strict. But he's understandable. In other words, he says you can't use a measuring cup at all. Good. The Tanakhama is difficult to understand. I can ask someone to fill it up, but I can't say a specific measure. Huh? What does that mean? So the Gemara is going to offer 2 explanations of the Tanakhama of our Mishnah.
Rabbi, is this still you cooking by yourself at home? You can't make
it cooking? Well, right now we're talking about the exchange I'm making with the merchant. But it would also translate into what I'm doing in the house. But right now the Gemara is just describing, again, right, stores open on Yontif. I'm going to the store and I'm going to buy. Okay, and now this it's a simple question. How much sugar do you want? Okay, just fill it up. Okay, so again, the Tanakhama says, fine, but you can't say the measurement. So what does that mean? So the Gemara is going to give 2 explanations of the Tanakhama. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Yuchal Lamida. So explanation number 1 offered by Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel is that you can't use a utensil that has measuring lines and has been used previously as a measuring cup. That's what the Tanakhama says you can't use. Avakli ha'omed lamida yimalenu. But if it's a kli which hasn't been used yet as a measuring cup, could easily turn into a measuring cup, so that you are allowed to use. Okay, that's a funny line to draw in the sand, meaning a utensil which has been already used as a measuring cup versus one which hasn't been used as a measuring cup but could easily be converted into a measuring cup. The former you're not allowed to use on Yom Tov, the latter you are. They also review, and then Rav Yehuda, who's taking the stricter position, is saying, no. As if this utensil could be used as a measuring cup, even if it has no past experience, it cannot be used on Yom Tov. Okay, fine. That is explanation number one of our Mishnah. Fine. Problem? Yesterday's daf. In yesterday's daf, we also had Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim regarding a scale. Where did Rav Yehuda stand on the scale issue? He was lenient. Where did the Chachamim stand on the scale issue? He was strict. So the Gemara says, I turned from yesterday's daf to today's daf, and now, understandably, we're all confused. The Gemara says just the opposite. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shkol Adam Basa Keneged Akliv Keneged Akufis. Chacham Ramim Eimashkich Meshkich Mekaf Masayim Kaliker. Okay, the issue of the scale. Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to use the scale with some reservation, but you're allowed to. The Chachamim said you're not allowed to use the scale. And Rabbi Yehuda Lekul of Rabban Lechul Lechumra. Rabbi Yehuda was lenient, and Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim are machmir. So Kasha the Rabbi Yehuda, Kasha the Rabbanan, right. So why in the case of the scale, Rabbi Yehuda says fine, and meanwhile with the measuring cup, Rabbi Yehuda says no measuring cup whatsoever. Okay, what happened? And the Chacham, that's one question. And the Chalukah can ask the same basic question against the Chachamim. The Chachamim said scale, no. Measuring cup, yeah. Limit with reservation, but yeah. So again, so the Gemara says I'm confused. So between yesterday's daf and today's daf, so the Rabbi Yehuda lokasha hasan b'she'ena omed lamida hacha be'omed lamida. So the Gemara says, okay, well, look, when it comes to the measuring cup is intended to be used as a measuring cup, even if with no past history. Still, the point of a measuring cup is it's there to measure. So that's why I can't use it. A scale, like we kind of discussed yesterday, a scale can be used for measuring, but at the same time also, I could store things on the scale. I don't have to measure with the scale. That's the Gemara's distinction.
But a measuring cup would be a cup also.
Agreed. I'm just presenting the Gemara. I also don't fully understand it, but that's the Gemara. The Gemara makes such a distinction. And the Chachamim, look, a scale, measure, weighing something on a scale, uv de dechol, that's a weekday activity. No. When it comes to the measuring cup, if it hasn't been used before as a measuring cup, so then that's not necessarily a weekday activity. Okay. The Gemara, that's the Gemara's resolution. But all this was the first explanation of our Mishnah. Now we're up to number two. Second explanation of our Mishnah. Rav Armai Maya Valo B'mida Shalo Yisgar Lo Shem Mida. Aval Kli HaMiyuchel L'mida Yimalanu. In Rav's explanation of the Mishnah, so now, here we're going to have a clearer distinction in the Tanakhama. I can give him a measuring cup. It could be a cup, it could be a pint, it could be a quart, it could be a liter, if you want to go metric. In other words, it could be a measuring cup. And I can hand it to him and I can say, here, fill it up. I just can't actually say what it is. That's where the Tanakhama stands on measuring cups. There's nothing wrong per se with a measuring cup. It's actually saying, hey, you know what? This is a quart. Give me a quart of sugar. Give me a quart of oil. I can't mention the actual unit of measurement. But I can for sure give it to him and ask him to fill it up. That's what the Tanakhama is saying. And as Rav Yehuda Lameimer, Kli Miyuchel Lamida Lo Yimalenu. And Rav Yehuda, and on this point, Rav Yehuda says, no, I'm going to be machmir. Meaning, no, if it's a measuring cup, even if I don't say what the measurement actually is, you can't use it. Okay, that's the Tanakhama versus Rav Yehuda. And again, now the Gemara is going to go through the same discussion. The comparison between our Mishnah and the previous Mishnah, and the resolution will be more or less the same. The Gemara lays out the same exact question, that by the scale Rav Yehuda was mekel and the Chachamim were machmir. So why by the scale is Rav Yehuda taking a lenient position, and why by the measuring cup is Rav Yehuda taking a stricter position? So the Rav Yehuda, the Rav Yehuda, kasha asa mishena miyuchal lamida, hakim miyuchal lamida. And again, the answer was, no, a measuring cup is classically used for measuring. Done. You're not allowed to measure on Yantav and Shabbos. Done. But as opposed to the scale, again, you can make other uses of the scale. And the Rabbanan amelo kasha, hasam ka'avdi ka'adda avdin b'chol, ha'chalo ka'avdi ka'adda avdin b'chol, da'avdi injid me'karvi chamra b'mana, dekila v'shasu. So the Gemara says, well, look, again, the Chachamim's chief issue is uvda d'chol. A scale, that's a weekday activity. Weighing something on a scale is a weekday activity, that's why they forbid the use of a scale b'chlal. As opposed to a measuring cup, sometimes you'll take a measuring cup and you'll take a drink out of a measuring cup. So it's not such a weekday activity. It's not such an uvda d'chol. Okay. Maisa ba'abashal ben bitnas. Fine, so that takes care of the first issue in the Mishnah. It takes care of it. Doesn't take care of it. But at least we have now somewhat of a better understanding. Again, the measuring cup on Yantiv, yes or no? Tanakama says yes, but with reservation. What's the reservation of the Tanakama? Two opinions in the Gemara, Rav Yehuda Mishmuel versus Rava. Rav Yehuda Mishmuel says a measuring cup that was already used versus a measuring cup that was never used as a measuring cup. Rava says no. The reservation is, I could use a measuring cup on Yantiv, I just can't say it what it actually is measuring. A pint, a quart, a liter, but I could say give it to the seller and say, here, do me a favor, fill her up. That you're allowed to do on Yantiv, and even though there's a clear understanding between buyer and seller, that I'm getting a cup of sugar, a pint of sugar, just don't say the word pint. Don't say the word liter. That's the Rava's understanding of the Tanakama. Good. We move on in the Mishnah. Abashal ben Bitnis. Abashal ben Bitnis would, on Yantiv, pre-pour the drinks on Yantiv. Okay. And the reason why is because, again, he didn't want to measure on Yantiv. And then the Gemara relates that he would do so even on Chol HaMoed. Now, on Yantiv, we understand. There's a measuring issue. Chol HaMoed, you know, you're allowed to do more things on Chol HaMoed, include measure. So why would he pre-pour on Chol HaMoed? So the Gemara only gives us one line of explanation, not even. The Gemara says, Tana, we're in the second wide line on the Amud, Af v'moed osekein, mimnei bitol beis ha-medrash. So he would do so because of bitol beis ha-medrash. What does that mean? Rashi over here writes as follows. Shaya chacham gadol. So notably, Rashi says this particular Tana that we're describing, Abashol, so he was a big Tana chacham. Ubaim rabin l'shol ha-menu, l'shol mimenu. And so he gets a lot of people asking him questions. V'moed rabin moskim b'torah. And it happens to be that on Chol HaMoed, so there was a lot of Torah being learned during Chol HaMoed. Because you take off the week. In other words, Chol HaMoed, if you can. So you take off Chol HaMoed. So now that you have all that free time, what are you going to do? It's a no-brainer. You're going to learn Torah. So you have all these people learning Torah. Abishal was a person who was extraordinarily knowledgeable in Torah. So if someone had a Torah question, they would come to him to ask. So he was a businessman, but at the same time, he actually was, and from a Torah standpoint, he was busy during Chol HaMoed. A lot of people were asking him questions. So Rashi goes on to describe. She'ein terudim ha-melacha v'ayim ma'alan, I'm sorry, v'hayim ma'alan b'layla, she'ein zman beis ha-medrash k'dei she'ei panu b'yom. And so basically at night, not a lot of people in the beis ha-medrash at night, and not a lot of people were asking him questions, so at night actually he had free time, so that's when he would do his work. Meaning he sold wine, he sold oil. So he would pour at night, so that once the day comes around, so he did all of his business activities at night, so during the day, he'd be free to learn. Okay, fine. That's Rashi's explanation of the Gemara, in terms of why even Chol HaMoed. What was special about Chol HaMoed? Good. Okay. The Musar, I think, is self-evident, meaning if we have free time, we should be learning. Okay. The Musar is pretty clear. Tana Rabbanan. Now, there is. Let's go back to our Mishnah, and now there's another consideration. And now I told you in the Mishnah, it's a question of whether or not the three words belong in the Mishnah or not. But let me explain what's going on in the Mishnah, and so that way we could just at least finish the Amud over here. And that is the following. In the Mishnah, we said af bechol the chachamim amrim af bechol osekein mimnei mitzui hamidos. Even during the week, they would do so because of mitzvah midos. Okay. When selling wine or oil, or let's even talk about beer for that matter, so obviously in any transaction, so you want obviously to be totally honest. Now, an honest transaction means that, aside from paying for the goods, making sure that the goods that I sell is the amount that I claim I'm going to sell. It's really simple. Meaning, so if I'm selling a gallon of beer, it's got to be a gallon of beer. Okay. What happens when you pour beer really quickly? So what happens is there's a head of foam on the top. And with the head of foam on the top, so it turns out then that I'm selling a gallon of beer, but it's not really a gallon of beer because of all that foam on the top. So if I wanted to be honest, so what I would do is I would pour slowly, I would wait for the foam to come down, and I would keep doing it again and again and wait, and so that he would get a full gallon of beer. Okay? It was time consuming, but obviously it was for the purposes of honesty. Okay? And wine also. In other words, a little bit of foam develops on the top as well. And again, you want the you're going to have to wait until the foam comes down. Now, talk about oil. So you have another issue. And that is that when you're pouring from the barrel into his cup, so because the oil is so viscous, so what's going to end up happening is you have to sit there with the barrel and hold it over and allow it to come out. And even the last drips that are coming out, it'll take time. All this is a consideration when pouring something that gets foamy or something that is very viscous. So now the Gemara is going to be describing. So that's what our Mishnah means. Now let's just go back to the Mishnah. Chachamim omrim af b'chol osekemim ne'mitzu emidos. They would pour overnight. Meaning, when the customer would come in, he wouldn't pour right away. Because, again, you're going to lose in the exchange because of the foam and because of the viscous oil. So what they would do is they would prepare pouring the night prior to make sure that you would get a full liter, a full quart of whatever you're selling. All good? That's what the Mishnah means. Now we go Tanur Rabbanan, where the second wide line on the Amud, Hu kanash shlosh meos garbi yayin mi birurei hamidos. The Brisa over here describes how Abba Shaul had 300 barrels of wine that he accumulated through birurei hamidos. The excess that he accumulated because of the viscous oil and because of the foam that was created on top. Now, it's strange because the Gemara just told us that he would pre-pour the night prior. So how did he get this aggregate amount? So
maybe he charged less.
So in other words, Rashi says that he Rashi on the bottom of the Amud, top of the next column. So Rashi says that he got very busy. In other words, during Chol HaMoed he got very busy, and it was just, in other words, even though he tried to prepare the night prior, but sometimes he just had no choice, but he had to actually pour right on the spot, and once again it left him with a little bit extra. Now, he was very uncomfortable because he didn't feel that little wine that he aggregated, right, because he didn't, all the drips didn't come out. So he felt very uncomfortable because he felt like it wasn't his. So what did he do with it? Hu kana shol shmeyas garbi yayin mi birurei hamidos v'chaverav kanasu shol shmeyas garbi shemen mi mitzu hamidos. So he was a wine seller. He had a little bit of wine left over. His friends who were selling oil also had a little bit of oil left over. V'yiviu lifnei gizbar lishalayim. So okay, I don't want to keep it. So they made a donation to the shul. But in their case, they didn't go to shul. They went to the temple and they offered it to the Beis Hamikdash. So they said to him, "You don't want it." So amru lahem af anu ein ritzonenu bekach. We also don't want it. And Rashi points out why did the Gizbar refuse to take it? So the Gizbar thought, number one, it's not his, so he doesn't have the right to be makdish it, or maybe it is his, but through Gezel, and we discussed back in the third parak of Sukkah, stolen goods to the base of Mikdash, no. Either way, Amru lahem holvech miyotam alat mechem asumem sarche rabim. So the Gizbar said, but look, you are being machmer upon yourself, you don't want to retain it, you don't want to keep it, you know what? Give it to Tzarchei Rabbim. Give it to the public. make public funds out of that. D'tanya, gezel v'ena yedei l'mi gazel, yasem emsarchi rabin. Let's say money was stolen, and unfortunately, we know that the money is stolen. We just simply don't know who to return the money to. Okay, right? The thief was caught. Right? All the money that was found in his house was repossessed, and now we just don't know. We don't know who the victim is. What do you do with that money? So make public goods with that money. Rashi, I'm sorry, not before Rashi. My Nino Amar Chista Bar Shechun Amaros. So make public water, right? Make a pit so that when the public goes by, they can go ahead and they can collect the water from the money. Okay. We'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up from the very bottom of the Amud. Okay, good. We did good work in terms of trying to catch up. Again, our big issues for today was Machshirei Ochel Nefesh. Machlokes between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. The Gemara says the halacha is like Rav Yehuda, but don't publicize the matter. Okay, there was a caution in going like Rav Yehuda, even though the Ikar halacha is like Rav Yehuda. Even within the sheet of Rav Yehuda, the distinction was made between Ochel Nefesh versus Machshirei. Between Efshar versus Efshar Lasos Meir of Yontav. Okay, if I could have done it before Yontav, then I have no license to do it on Yontav itself. Okay, and then we went back to the discussion of making transactions on Yontav, but with discretion, not mentioning an actual dollar amount, using a measuring cup, but not actually mentioning what the measuring cup is measuring. Okay, and then we went on to discuss honesty in making a transaction of oil and wine, and if you have a little bit of extra, what do you do with that little bit of extra? That was the last topic of today.